This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. A clear sky, 63 degrees, and we have a wind advisory, a red flag warning today. And it could be dangerous for the possibility of fire danger today anyway. Widely respected and loved Wichita State University professor Dr. James Radican died Sunday. He served WSU for more than five decades. The Radican Student Center was named for him. Radican was 30 years old when WSU hired him in 1965, the youngest dean of students in the nation. He was vice president of student affairs from 1970 until 1996, then served 6 years as senior vice president. He retired from the position in 2002. But he did not retire from the school. He was a consultant to the Wichita State University Foundation until his final retirement in 2014. James Radican was 89 years old. A woman died after being struck by an airplane propeller Saturday afternoon.
It happened a little after 2:30 p.m. at Air Capital Drop Zone at Cook Airfield, located in the 7,000 block of South 143rd Street East, just east of Derby. Fire Marshal Jonathan Marr said the woman was taking pictures at the airfield when she accidentally backed up into a moving airplane propeller. The victim was taken to the hospital in extremely critical condition and later died. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
The deceased is identified as 37-year-old Amanda Gallagher of Wichita. Former President Trump held a rally at New York City's Madison Square Gardens and Sunday night. Trump claims Vice President Kamala Harris should not be even a candidate for President of the United States.
She's unfit for office. Everyone knows it. No one respects her. No one trusts her. No one takes her seriously. Everyone knows she is a very low IQ individual.
Vice President Harris hit the campaign trail in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Harris says this election is about two different visions for the U.S.
Focused on the future, and we are focused on the needs of the American people, as opposed to a Donald Trump who spends full time looking in the mirror, focused on himself.
Israel is conducting retaliatory strikes on Iranian military sites as the White House calls for the countries to avoid a greater conflict. Fox's Lucas Tomlinson tells us more. From the White House.
We heard from President Biden. He does hope this marks the end of direct confrontation between Israel and Iran. We heard from the vice president.
I do believe that it is critically important that we, as the United States of America, be an active participant in encouraging, one, that this war ends, that we get the hostages out, but also that there is a real commitment among nations to a two-state solution in the day after.
What we learned from Israel's unprecedented strike on Iran is how vulnerable Iran's air defense systems are. The Pentagon has been given the playbook now should the U.S. ever strike Iran in the future.
And the Israeli military says its aircraft targeted military sites that Iran uses to make missiles. KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:07, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday morning. With a few days remaining before Election Day, those who are overseeing the balloting continue to guard against misleading information.
State elections officials say even this close to Election Day, facts are being distorted, misleading people on where and when to vote and who can vote. Arizona's Secretary of State Adrian Fontes said on CBS Face the Nation, some people in this country are spreading the lies.
The source for a lot of this information and misinformation, I should say, is coming from outside of the United States. It gets amplified by folks in America who are helping those folks. And that's just bad.
Fontes said the priority in the days leading to the general election will be securing the process and also ensuring the safety of voters and workers at the polls. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
The former president of Bolivia claims he survived an assassination attempt Sunday.
Evo Morales says unidentified men opened fire on his car in Bolivia's coca leaf-growing region, where residents have blockaded the main east-west highway for the past 2 weeks in a show of defiance. The roadblocks and rallies choking off major cities and disrupting supply lines, raising fears of food and gasoline shortages. It's the latest in a struggle between the ex-leader and his protege-turned-rival, current president Luis Arce. President Arce condemned the attack and requested an investigation. The deputy security minister also is investigating if the attack was staged to help Morales with his political fortunes. Ann Carrick, Fox News.
A popular fast food item is making a comeback after an E. coli outbreak.
McDonald's says Quarter Pounders will be back on the menu, but will not contain slivered onions from a Taylor Farms facility in Colorado Springs. The produce company is the supplier of fresh onions used by hundreds of restaurants involved in the E. coli outbreak that sickened at least 75 people in 13 states. An analysis by the FDA determined those uncooked onions are likely the source of contamination. McDonald's says testing has ruled out beef patties as the source. 22 people have been hospitalized. Two have developed a dangerous kidney disease complication from eating contaminated Quarter Pounders. Kathleen Maloney, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:09, 9 minutes past 6 o'clock.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing some traffic picking up on the highways right now, just not seeing any slowdowns, which is good news. Heaviest traffic I'm seeing right now is in the downtown area, northbound Broadway, kind of approaching Central, northbound Waco in that same area. Pretty heavy at the moment. And westbound First Street, just approaching Washington. Some areas of fairly heavy traffic right there. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. I'm Chad Chambers.
And now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Mostly partly cloudy skies for your Monday, high of 87 degrees. A southerly breeze going to be pretty gusty at 15 to 30 miles an hour. Staying dry, and with that high of 87 degrees, we may see a new record high by the end of the day. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now a clear sky, we have a south wind gusting to 24 miles per hour. And 63 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Good morning to you all out there. This is the Monday, the 28th day of October. Good morning, Ted Woodward.
Hello.
And, yeah, we've had 6,700, and this is 6,900. Let me try that again. 6,791. Yeah. There you go. 6,791.
6,791.
That's the show.
Stephen Ted shows.
The number. And a wind advisory today, red flag warning, danger for fire out there is dry. The, you know, the wind's going to blow, and it is blowing right now, as I said, gusting from the south. We had a sunny day across central Kansas Sunday. High temperature yesterday was only 77 degrees, normal high 66. Wichita precipitation is now more than 10 inches below normal for this time of year. However, he said, we have at least the possibility of some rain, maybe tomorrow and Wednesday and tomorrow night. How about that, Ted? We're going to keep our fingers crossed. It's a beautiful morning to start your day with a cup of coffee. Why not? Prairie Fire. That's what I have in this cup right
here.
Hey,
look at you.
So you can, I'll hold that up to the microphone so you can see it. Microphone. Delicious. On this date, in 1886, the Statue of Liberty, a gift from the people of France, was dedicated in New York Harbor by President Grover Cleveland. So, yeah. I've never seen it. Ted, have you seen it? You've seen it.
Seen?
Statue of Liberty?
Oh, yeah.
I never have. My wife has.
Been to the top.
Yeah. My wife has.
Long, long ago.
I need to go and see that, among other things in this world.
You take the Staten Island Ferry out there, and it's...
Is it pretty busy?
It's pretty cool once you get out there to the island,
yeah,
and you're standing underneath it and looking up at it, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how tall is it? Over 100 feet?
It's
like that?
Bigger than you, because usually it's against the backdrop of New York, and it doesn't look very
small,
big.
Yeah.
Boy, when you're standing right there at the base of it and looking up, it is massive.
How about that?
It's pretty cool.
That's on my list. NASA says an astronaut has been released from the hospital after returning from space. The unidentified astronaut briefly hospitalized for an unspecified medical issue Friday shortly after returning with three others from a nearly eight-month stay at the International Space Station. The crew of three Americans and one Russian were supposed to come back to Earth 2 months ago, but that was delayed by Boeing's Starliner astronaut capsule in stormy weather. The space station is now back to its normal crew size of seven after months of extra visitors. This is the same four that we were saying we didn't know when they were going to come back. It might be years. They stuck them back home. I didn't know, even know they were back home.
I thought they weren't supposed to come back till the new year.
Yeah, something like that. Months away, but it got them back. Wonder what this, again, not being very forthcoming about whatever is ailing this person, but maybe it's kind of embarrassing or something. I don't know. I've never been to space either. Haven't seen the Statue of Liberty. Haven't been to space. So there you go. I'm probably not going to space.
Well, that's why you have the bucket list.
You got the bucket list.
So you know what to do.
Get some things that you can do. Yes, let's see. Special kind of a beauty contest featuring bats kicked off in the lead up to Halloween, which is this week, by the way. Bureau of Land Management hosts its Bat Beauty Contest to raise awareness about the animal's ecological importance. The federal agency posts photos of wild bats taken by its staff on its Facebook and Instagram accounts and then asks people to vote for the cutest bat. The first round of voting began Thursday. It pitted a Townsend's big-eared bat named Sir Flaps-a-Lot from Utah against a hoary bat fittingly named Hoary Potter from Oregon. That's H-O-A-R-Y. Beauty contest will continue in rounds over the next week, and it wrap up then on Halloween. So it's just another fun thing to do with bats. I mean, a bat, if you've never seen one, it's got the face of kind of like a rat maybe, or a dog, something, pointy nose, it's creepy looking. And then you got these wings that go out with hands on them. Yikes. No wonder they made vampire bat. Well, there's a vampire bat.
There is a vampire bat, yeah.
They don't really go around sucking blood from people, but there you go.
They eat a lot of insects.
They do. Bats, I'm sure, have a real place in nature's makeup. You know, those places down in those caves down in anywhere, Kentucky, Missouri, wherever. There's usually a pile of bat dew in there.
Yeah, they always find the caves nice and cool.
Nice and cool in there. Get to hang upside down.
Get to hang out until the nighttime comes.
And this triggers one more. The Sedgwick County Zoo. What is that big building where they've got like the indoor jungle? Have you seen those great big bats hanging?
Oh, yeah. What? At the rainforest.
Yeah, the rainforest. I like that place. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You look up there and you see those guys hanging upside down. Wow.
Last time I encountered a bat was when I saw a show at the Scottish Rite downtown. And during the first 5 or 6 minutes of the second act, there's a bat flying around in the auditorium.
Zipping around.
So nobody's paying attention to the play at all. They're all watching the bat fly around for about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, it's that.
So I know there's bats in that place.
That's that time of the year for bats. It's Halloween coming up. Coming up on 6:17 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. And let's take a look at leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward. Ted?
Yep, your first place, undefeated Kansas City Chiefs on the road yesterday afternoon in division play, heading out to Las Vegas to take on their division rival, the Raiders, the last team to beat the Chiefs last season on Christmas Day. So the Chiefs and the Raiders going at it, and neither team got too far ahead of the other in this one, so it would come down to some key plays, but Chiefs had enough going on offense. Mitch Holthus had the call. Of course, you heard the game right here on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. In the fourth quarter, the Chiefs were able to get a fumble from the Raiders in Raiders territory, and the Chiefs cashed in.
Second and goal to go for the Chiefs at the 9. Sprint left action, wide open left side, caught Worthy, left front pylon, touchdown! Kansas City, Xavier Worthy, back into the end zone for the third time on a reception, fifth time in his rookie year, and the Chiefs have blown it open by two touchdowns.
And the Chiefs hold on and win it. 27-20 was the final score. The Chiefs get their 13th win in a row, 7-0 this season. The Raiders at one point had first and goal on the 3-yard line, and they got 0 points. That was late in the third quarter. So, man, that Chiefs defense came up big again. Chiefs had that 2-touchdown lead, and they hold on and win it 27-20.
Holmes goes to a knee, and that's going to do it. The Kansas City Chiefs remain undefeated. The only unbeaten team left in the National Football League now after 7 weeks. And the Chiefs become the 30th team in the past 35 seasons to start 7-0. Every team that started 7-0 has made the playoffs in that 35-year span. 93% went on to win the division, and 6 of the 30 won the Super Bowl. And the Chiefs become the second team in NFL history to start 7-0 after back-to-back Super Bowl championships. The only other team to do it, the 1990 San Francisco 49ers, who lost in the NFC Championship game 15-13 to the New York Giants. Final score, Kansas City 27, the Raiders 20.
Good stuff. The Chiefs are in the win column again, and head coach Andy Reid credits the defense.
I was proud of our defense and how they held. I mean, the offense, we didn't get in very good position there, and we held up so strong on the defensive side, not allowing them to score touchdowns. And then the 5 sacks total, and that was incredible. But some of these guys that don't get a lot of credit really played well, and that's not eliminating the Chris Joneses of the world who also played well. But I just thought the defense was stout and played very well. Spags had a good game plan for him, and we did a nice job there.
And another tip to the hat for the defense for quarterback Patrick Mahomes.
The ball was on like the 3-yard line. A couple times it was on the 1. And for them to not just let up, I mean, it's easy in that situation to just let them kind of get in the end zone just because it's not really on them. I mean, it's on the offense to put them in position, but they stood their ground. They went up there and said that they're going to make them earn it. They're going to make them earn every single yard, and the defense made a big-time stop, and we were able to carry that momentum into a win.
Chiefs now 7-0 on the season, a 13-game winning streak right now. Other NFL action yesterday, the Sunday Night Football last night. You heard the game over on KFH. The San Francisco 49ers win at home. They beat the Dallas Cowboys 30-24. Starting at offensive right guard for the 49ers, Dominic Pooney, the rookie from KU. He played on all 68 snaps on offense, part of an offensive line that led the way for 223 rushing yards for the 49ers, only allowed 2 sacks. 49ers have won 3 of their last 5, just a half game behind for a playoff spot right now. Big day at Coke Arena yesterday, including college men's basketball exhibition game, Wichita State hosting Emporia State. And the Shockers got some good contributions from just about everyone up and down the entire roster. Mike Kennedy and Dave Dahl had the call last evening on 103.7 KEYN.
Rebound comes out long to Beverly. Shockers on the break. Cortez lobs for it. Washington, who missed the dunk but still bounced in for it.
The junior transfer, Corey Washington, 15 points in 16 minutes on the court. Nice. 6 of 7 shooting. When he had shots like that, high percentage, good to do. 5,900 at the game at Coke Arena last evening as the Shockers beat Emporia State 99-53 as the Shocks win their 30th straight preseason exhibition game on home court. Shocks shot 52% from the field in one final tune-up before the season begins next week. College volleyball at Coke Arena yesterday before the basketball game. The Shocker ladies beat UAB 3-1. Senior Morgan Stout from Nickerson High School, a career-high 22 kills. She also had 10 blocks. And Izzy Strand dished out 44 assists. 3 straight wins for Shocker volleyball on home court. They are tied for 3rd place in the conference. And on a Monday, we got Shocker Coaches Night. Back-to-back-to-back coaches shows tonight. You want to get involved in what's going on with the Shockers. The season opening edition with women's basketball coach Terry Nooner at 6 o'clock. Season opening edition with men's basketball coach Paul Mills at 7 o'clock. And then volleyball coach Chris Lamb at 8 o'clock. Those are all on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. At Sports with Steve and Ted. Sports brought to you by Bel Air Recovery Center. Proud to serve veterans that served our nation. That's located in northeast Wichita. Bel Air Recovery Center improves the lives they touch.
6:22 now, give it in for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. How can you tell the truth from a lie? This could be valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming up, Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 6:30 on a Monday morning, 63 degrees. One person was critically injured, another seriously hurt in a three-vehicle crash south of Newton Friday afternoon in the northbound lanes of I-135. And the highway was temporarily closed in both directions as emergency crews cleared the scene. Kansas Highway Patrol, Newton Police, and the Harvey County Sheriff's Office responded. Names of the injured have not been released.
Supporters of former President Donald Trump gathered at Madison Square Garden yesterday for a rally.
Trump supporters have packed Madison Square Garden. I asked them what issues are important to them. Derek from New Jersey told me he's supporting the former president because of his stance on the economy.
I am a teacher, and so I actually work two extra jobs, and I only had one, so it's been rough.
Some had other concerns.
Stop all the wars, bring back the economy, finish the wall, deport everybody back to the country. They're not creating jobs, they're taking jobs away.
Trump hits all my issues. That's what I love about him. He says exactly what I want to say. He's not afraid to talk. He talks to the American people, for the American people.
At Madison Square Garden, Tanya J. Powers, Fox News.
Vice President Kamala Harris hit the campaign trail in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The vice president addressed a message for young generation Z voters.
For you, this is not theoretical. This is not political. This is not about some debate. It is about your lived experience. And you are here, and I see you because I see your power.
Some communities across Florida still dealing with the aftermath of Hurricane Milton.
Tracy Boyette's precious home is now mold infested and swamped.
The sewage smell out here is unbelievable.
With irreplaceable items lost forever. Her Oakmont neighborhood was drowned by Lake Seward right after Hurricane Milton. Eric Hedrick, another resident, says they've had a drainage problem for quite some time, but then Hurricane Milton exacerbated it. He says the county was going to come and fix it. Swift Mud and Polk County installed the piping to drain the water from the lake to Banana Lake and then ultimately to Lake Hancock. In Polk County, Carla Byron, Fox News.
An official apology has been issued by a branch of the U.S. military.
The U.S. Navy issuing an apology on Saturday, 142 years after an attack on a native village in Alaska. On October 26, 1882, shells rained down on Angoon, a Tlingit, Alaska village of about 420 in the southeastern Alaska panhandle. Navy sailors then landed and burned what was left of homes, stored food, and canoes. Accounts vary as to why the Navy attacked, with the accidental death of a Tlingit shaman by a whaling ship harpoon cited as one possible reason that natives responded by taking hostages from that ship. Angoon did receive a $90,000 settlement from the Interior Department in 1973, and now the formal apology. Paul Stevens, Fox News.
Now the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Mostly to partly cloudy skies for your Monday, high of 87 degrees. A southerly breeze going to be pretty gusty at 15 to 30 miles an hour, staying dry. And with that high of 87 degrees, we may see a new record high by the end of the day. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now a clear sky. We have a south wind gusting to 24 miles per hour, 63 degrees at KNSS with Steve and Ted in the morning on Monday, October 28th. On this date in 1962, Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev informed the United States that he had ordered the dismantling of missile bases in Cuba. In return, the U.S. secretly agreed to remove nuclear missiles from U.S. installations in Turkey.
Yeah.
And I didn't find out about this till I was about 40 years old. That there was actually a bargain struck there. But, yeah, because they didn't put it out that way. They had the Russians backing down. Khrushchev said, well, all right, we're not going to have a world war, so it's okay.
Wonder why they allowed us to do that, to keep that secret.
I don't know, unless we had something on them.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we did.
Okay. American Airlines testing a new technology at three airports across the country during the boarding process. Now, and I didn't know this was a problem. It aims to cut down on passengers who tried to jump the line. I've never seen this before.
I haven't either.
Technology, which is being tested at Albuquerque International Sunport Airport in New Mexico, Tucson International Airport in Arizona, and Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport in Crystal City, Virginia, alerts gate agents with an audible sound if a passenger tries to scan the ticket ahead of the assigned group. American Airlines says that a
gate agent politely lets the customer know they're unable to accept the pass and asks the customer to rejoin the line when their boarding group is called.
Yeah, and then everybody glares at that person.
And the airline says it's been pleased with the results so far. I didn't know it was a problem. Of course, I haven't jumped on an airplane in a long time. So I don't know how they do it, whether they scan tickets, what do they do. But when's the last time you flew?
Oh, this summer. I flew to
that's
L.A.
That's right. You went out to L.A. this summer. That's right.
Yep. Okay.
What's up?
You've flown before, though, Ted, right? So what group did you get to go in when you flew?
I don't know, like the middle group.
Middle group, something like that?
Usually I'm in the back. This time it seemed like we were in the middle.
This year it was the first time I ever flew anywhere, and they made me wait until the very last group.
Yeah?
It's like, come on, it's my first time flying, and and I'm in the last group to get on the plane. Thanks, I appreciate that.
Why did you just throw a big fit? Everybody else does.
Look, the plane I boarded here in Wichita, there were only like 20 people on it. So it's not like I waited a long time. It's just kind of weird that, you know, for someone's first time flying, they decide to put them in the very last group to board.
Like Air Midwest, when they were flying out of here, they would actually ask certain people of certain weight to go to a certain part of the plane.
Oh, yeah.
To balance things out.
Got to balance things out on Scare Midwest.
Scare Midwest.
That was always fun.
Yeah. What you said over there, sir? Anyway, I haven't flown in quite a while. 6:37, Steve and Ted. That's so the Chiefs. Just a quick note on that. I don't know that I've seen that many games with that many penalties before. Those guys couldn't get those flags out of their pockets. They just kept throwing them.
Yeah.
But you got a couple of teams that are going at it hard.
Not the cleanest affair, but
the Chiefs won, so hey.
Find a way to survive those penalties and get in the win column.
Keep going. But interesting game. Well, they all are now with the Chiefs since they got the streak going here.
So you weren't pleased with that officiating crew?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they saw. I did see on one holding that they showed the replay one time and there was nothing there.
Oh, I saw that
and
too.
And they didn't say anything. They just kept going.
I remember that. I remember that too. It's like,
I would have said, hey,
guy was basically
where is
just
it?
Standing there and they threw a penalty, threw a flag.
I think
what?
He touched it with his hand or something.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe they got the wrong number. It could be. 6:38 now, Steve and Ted. It's time now on a Monday morning for our KNSS Commodities Update with Mr. Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. Friday, the cattle complex traded and closed two-sided. Cash cattle in Kansas is traded at mostly $190. This is a sixth straight week of higher prices. Now, Friday's cattle and feed report was termed neutral to slightly negative. Placements were 2% higher than expected at 98% on feed, and marketings were in line with estimates. Now, the heifers in the feed yards are the second largest in 25 years, so there's no sign of heifer retention at the moment. Lean hog futures Friday traded mixed and closed positive, and we are looking at at Friday's close. December live cattle, 10 cents lower, 189.15. November feeders a nickel higher, 248.57. And December lean hogs were up $1.02 at 79.67. Well, the wheat, corn, and soybean futures all closed negative Friday after trading mostly lower throughout the session. Now, Friday, there were more flash sales of U.S. corn and soybeans. And last week, December KC wheat lost 9 cents. December corn gained 11 cents. November beans gained 18 cents for the week. Now, overnight, the grain and the soy complexes have bounced off their overnight lows. At the moment, December Kansas City wheat's up a quarter of a penny at 572 and a quarter. December corn down a penny and a half at 413 and three quarters. November beans down 6 cents at 981 and three quarters. December crude oil taking a big hit, $4.20 lower at $67.58. December gold's down $12 at $2,742.60. December S&P is 27 points higher, trading at 5,873. December dollar index down 6 cents at 104.07. And December Dow Jones futures 144 points higher, 42,465. For commodity trading, ag marketing, or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866-GO-TO-TOM.
Tom had a chance to dine on a ribeye with some shrimp over the weekend. Pretty tasty. It had been a while since I'd had a good ribeye, so... Anyway, I'm just helping the farmers, you know, helping the ranchers out there. Doing my part.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, serving turf for you.
I was talking to Patty over the weekend about you talking about when you eat beef, and you guys always make a comment to me about eating beef. And it reminded me of something I don't remember, but I was told by my parents. When I was very little, we were somewhere eating breakfast. And when they asked me what I wanted to eat, I told them I wanted a hamburger.
Yeah.
And my mother tried to tell me that, you know, that's not normal breakfast. The waitress says, that's fine. We're making a hamburger. So, see, I've been eating beef since I had a little tot.
See, you just put your foot down and said, Mom, I want a hamburger.
And you are my hero, Tom Loeffler.
Yeah, no kidding.
That is fantastic.
Anybody who can stand up to Mom like that, holy mackerel.
No, I'm not saying standing up to Mom. I'm saying eating beef for breakfast.
I got you. Okay. Well, you know, get some scrambled eggs and a steak is not a bad way to go on a breakfast.
Steak and eggs.
That's exactly right.
And look, hey, listen, look, it appears from the forecast, let's not get too excited about this, but it could be raining tomorrow night. What do you think about that?
We might even see some this weekend, too, from what they say.
Oh, well, we don't want it for Halloween night. That to put a damper on the kids out there trick-or-treating. On the other
hand, right, because last week they promised a dry Halloween. Now they're starting to back off that.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, well, we'll keep you posted. And thank you, sir. We'll check with you again tomorrow morning. Tom Loeffler of Loeffler Commodities coming up. Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, with Stephen Tennant in the morning on KNSS. Stephen 10 in the morning, KNSS, 646 here on a Monday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Chiefs still undefeated after 27-20 win over the Raiders.
Two.
Woman dies after being struck by an airplane propeller. 30-year-old Amanda Gallagher of Wichita.
One.
Beloved educator Jim Rattigan has died after more than five decades at Wichita State University. He was 89. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Cordell and Cordell traffic cameras showing some pretty heavy traffic. I-235 southbound, and that's approaching the K-42 area. Just some pretty heavy traffic there, and it's starting to slow down a bit. Again, that's southbound on I-235 approaching K-42. There in Southwest Wichita, traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. It's brought to you by Joe DeBrava and Carl's Goodyear Tire, two locations, downtown at Market and Waterman and at 47th Street South and Broadway in the former Kmart building. You can see it all at carlstire.com. Carl's Goodyear is your home for complete car care.
We have a wind advisory, red flag warning, sunny and windy today with a high of 89 degrees. Yesterday's high in Wichita, 77. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 68. Tuesday, mostly sunny. Tomorrow's high, 82 degrees. And we have a clear sky now. South wind gusting to 24 miles per hour. 63 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Eric and Lyle Menendez may soon be leaving prison as new evidence is presented about what motivated their 1989 murder of their parents.
I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute. The Menendez brothers are one step closer to freedom after the Los Angeles District Attorney announced they are recommending resentencing. Eric and Lyle were convicted for the 1989 murder of their parents, Jose and Kitty, and were given life without parole. But new evidence brought to light has caused George Gascon's office to reconsider.
I do believe that the brothers were subjected to a tremendous amount of dysfunction in the home and molestation.
Because those claims of sexual abuse were not originally considered, Gascon is now asking the courts to give them a new sentence of 50 years to life and make them immediately eligible for parole. A judge would have to approve the resentencing, as well as the state parole board signing off on their release. There's more on this story at foxnews.com. Subscribe to the Fox True Crime Podcast with Emily Campagno. I'm Anna Eliopoulos with your Fox True Crime Minute.
On Wall Street Friday, the Dow closed out a losing week.
Stocks ending mixed, with the Dow suffering its fifth straight session of losses as investors reviewed a new batch of earnings reports. The Dow and S&P 500 ending the week with losses and snapping a six-week winning streak. Tech stocks gained, bond yields fell, while industrials lagged. Most of the so-called Magnificent Seven group of tech stocks rallied. Chip heavyweight Nvidia rose 1% and briefly surpassed Apple as the world's most valuable company. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Microsoft, Salesforce, and United Health Group, the Dow decliners, Home Depot, McDonald's, and Travelers. The Dow falling 260 points, the NASDAQ up 103, S&P 500 down 2. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Stephen, 10 in the morning, 6:50 on this Monday morning, and it's time for Don Grant, CFP, the money tracker this morning. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. You know, there is an obvious direct correlation between your health and your bottom line. The healthier you are, the better the opportunity to work and grow your wealth. And you may have fewer out-of-pocket expenses for your health care if you're healthy. So we want to stay healthy, but there's a problem. Healthcare workers are worried because the number of younger Americans having strokes is rising. That's according to a recent report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Those ages 45 to 64 are seeing a 15.7% increase in the prevalence of stroke. Younger Americans age 18 to 44 have seen nearly 15%. The average age of a stroke when individuals are 70 or older. That's the average age. But the rise of the stroke for those 65 and younger has been growing over the past decade. Obesity and high blood pressure in younger Americans are a sign. Study also found that those with less than a high school education also experience a significant increase in strokes. Researchers are trying to find a clear single culprit for the rise in young adult demos' increased numbers. The factor that jumps into every continent through every demographic is the primary stroke risk factor, and that, of course, is high blood pressure, as mentioned earlier. I'm not a doctor, although I have played one on TV, so I won't attempt to dispense medical advice, but from a financial perspective, those who are more at risk should ensure that they have adequate medical coverage. That may mean stepping into the gold plan from the silver. Better health coverage may also come with healthy lifestyle guidance and treatments that could potentially save a life. Your certified financial planner professional can help you factor your health into your overall financial plan so that you'll have the most accurate basis from which to plan. And of course, if you have any questions on this or other financial planning issues, give me a call over at Saber Wealth. The number is 267-0600.
Don, today is National First Responders Day. Honoring the men and women who act quickly when an emergency is at hand, first responders dedicate their lives to save lives. They're the people who run toward a crisis when the rest of the world flees. According to the Department of Homeland Security, 4.6 million career and volunteer first responders support the communities where they live. How about that? And
appropriate with the subject today, too. Yeah.
We need those first responders. And we appreciate them.
Definitely.
Don, I know that last week you had a little dermatology treatment, some dermatology treatment, and I'm hoping that everything went fine and you're in the pink today.
I'm amazed. The swelling, I had a little, it's just a reminder for people to use sunscreen. Over the years, living in California and living here and always being in the sun and stuff, I use sunscreen, but obviously not enough. I had a small basal cell carcinoma removed, and it was one of those where they dig out a little piece of it, and they do like they check it under a microscope, I guess, to see if they got it all. Then they come back and dig out a little more, and he got it on the second take. I tell you, this Dr. Bro was amazing, just really knew what he was doing. Came in and he stitched it up. I must have 15 or 16 stitches. Sounds like a terrible thing, I think the actually stitching it up was bigger than the operation of taking out the basal cell, because he wanted to make sure it's on my face, that it's going to look good and it's going to fall right. And I think that we're probably not even going to know that it was done, but they did a great job and a big reminder to people to use sunscreen.
That procedure is called the Mohs treatment, and I've had it done as well on my face, and yeah. I don't even remember where it was now. They did such a great job of sewing me up, and
I think the stitches are perfect for your Frankenstein costume.
The Frankenstein
week.
Costume would be good.
Well,
yeah.
I'm a little upset because the swelling has gone down, and if we just scheduled this a week later, I could have just walked into any party and won the costume contest for the most authentic, you know?
Yeah, get some
get those rivets, bolts in your neck.
Yeah, some rivets, you're good bolts to go. For your neck, you'd be gone. Okay.
You know, I was just thinking, the doctor did explain to me that it's called the Mohs, M-O-H-S surgery, because it was a Dr. Mohs that I guess came up with the procedure. Aren't you glad that it's not the Soberjowski method or something?
No kidding.
Well, it's a lot more paper.
But we were talking last week, the week before, and you kind of got me reminding me that I haven't seen the dermatologist for a couple of years. So I went right ahead and I made an appointment. I'm going today, later on this morning.
Oh, good.
Get a checkup.
Good for you.
All right.
I appreciate you asking, and everything is healing beautifully.
Yeah, and the thing is, the experience you and I have had is if you get in there and get it done early, hey, you probably won't have any problems with it, but go ahead and
Exactly.
All right, sir.
Yeah, once that gets all finished up, you can have that radical plastic surgery you've been wanting.
Oh yeah! I'm gonna get the bicep implants, maybe some pecs. I got all kinds. Maybe a nose, little nose job. Heck yeah!
I thought you were gonna have the genealogy, as in what Jenner.
Think it over. Well, I'm not ready. Not ready to switch teams just yet.
A way homer. All right. Thank you, Don.
All right.
We'll check with you tomorrow morning, sir. Coming up 7 o'clock, top of the hour news. A really beloved educator at Wichita State has died. We're going to tell you about that. James Radican has passed away. That story and more news, top of the hour, with Steve and Ted here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.